Well, back to school after spring break looks very different this year. The province closed schools indefinitely to slow the spread of COVID-19, and having kids at home instead of in the classroom can be challenging for any parent. For some parents, though, with children who are diverse learners or who have special needs, it is a real struggle. Nadina Ashbaugh is a North Vancouver mother of two children, both with autism, and Dina joins us on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Dina.
Good morning, Stephen.
Thank you for taking the time with us. Tell me about your two sons and what their needs are.
Yeah, well, I have two sons, one 8 and one 6, and they're both on the autism spectrum disorder, my oldest has dyslexia, but the youngest one also has pathological demand avoidance. So they're both very complex kids that need an array of support.
All right. And sorry, tell me more about pathological demand avoidance. What is that exactly?
Well, we're not as familiar with it in BC. It's more of a diagnosis that comes up in the UK. But it's basically the resistance and avoidance of ordinary demands of life. So my son is so anxious about his schedule and anything that's that unknown. So when you ask him to do something, he can respond very aggressively or destroy the things around him. So he can be very, very violent.
I can imagine.
Simply by asking him to brush his teeth.
Wow. And tell me about the kinds of supports your family had in place before the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, we have two teams. So we have our school team, which is absolutely amazing. And that support is very much a coordinated effort with a lot of communication and constant adjusting. So that would be the classroom teacher, an educational assistant, a learning support teacher, the school counselor, a language speech pathologist, a specialized literacy teacher, and even the principal. So within a given week and often the same day, all those people are involved with my sons.
Wow, that's quite a team.
Yeah, and then we have our home team, which is also in communication to help support that school team, which would be our behavioral consultant, a respite care provider to give my husband and I a break, a private reading tutor, 2 hours a day, because Zach is in grade 3 and still not reading, and weekly after-school and school closure programs through the North Shore Disability Resource Center, as well as our social worker, and we're waitlisted for counseling, as well as we're waiting for a pediatrician, as my youngest son was just diagnosed last month.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now what kind of supports are there in place for you?
None. Very little. I shouldn't say none. We still are in contact, of course, with our home team remotely. Our behavioral consultant is able to give me guidelines for putting our behavioral support in place in terms of strategies and collecting data and what she wants to see from me and be her eyes in the home to help her give us strategies for getting through the day. And then we had online tutoring available, but that just won't work with Zach. His tutor and I both agreed that he really needs that one-on-one because he gets so frustrated and angry easily when he's not doing well. And we're just waiting to see if we can have a respite in our home right now. We're not sure if that's at all safe for either a respite provider or us. So really it's me, my husband, still able to work. So I'm the person out of that whole web of support. I'm the last thread really holding all that weight.
How are you holding up?
It's hard. It's really hard. I also was diagnosed with autism in the summer. So I have my own disabilities and my own abilities to handle the stress. And it's hard. It's hard for everybody right now. I understand that. But it was hard before.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's really hard. And especially the uncertainty. And I'm sad for my son. His goal this year was to read one page, and he's been working so hard to do that. And I don't know if I can help him reach that goal. So, you know, as a mom, it's heartbreaking. And I know the school team cares about my kids so much, and they work so hard. And there's just real limits to the kind of support that can be provided that can't be delivered remotely.
Dina, the Ministry of Education has asked school districts to have what it's calling learning opportunities in place no later than mid-April. Have you heard anything at all from your children's school or your child's school and teachers?
Yeah, I have. The classroom teachers, both of them reached out yesterday saying their main purpose right now was just to reach out to families and establish contact. Mm-hmm. And the learning support teacher also emailed me with some ideas of how to help Zach, my oldest, because she mm-hmm. has a 3-year relationship with him and they're very close and she is her go-to. So, she's come up with some ideas, just connecting with him on Zoom, just to have that contact for him to know that those people are still in his life and still care about him. I don't know how much successful learning we'll have, and I'm open to being creative about that and doing whatever we can, but it is really that emotional support and behavioral support of keeping some sort of routine for my kids and having any kind of behavioral strategies in place from the school or any sort of aid in me helping them to learn. But sometimes just getting through our day is, you know, the day-to-day, not mm-hmm. the extra, such as learning. So we're going to keep working as a team. I was always part of that team at school, lots of consultation with me and always a lot of conversation and idea sharing. So we'll continue on that route with our school team for sure, but nothing specific. I think they're scrambling just as much as anybody mm-hmm. else right now. Yeah.
Dina, it's really good to hear you this morning. Thank you for telling us more about what you're going through there. And we're going to continue the conversation with Inclusion BC in just a moment. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
You take care.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Dina Ashbaugh, North Vancouver mother of 2 kids with autism. That is just one of the stories of many BC families with diverse learners that Inclusion BC advocates for. And Carla Verscher is Inclusion BC's executive director and joins us now. Good morning to you, Carla.
Good morning.
So the Ministry
Thanks
of
Education.
Thank you for taking the time with us. The Ministry of Education has said they're making plans to support vulnerable students who may need special assistance. We just heard an example of 2 kids who need a lot of help. What kinds of families meet that definition?
I think there are several families, but before I get into my comments, I just want to comment on Dina's amazing leadership that she's shown. So the school-based team and the home-based team, like everything that a parent can be doing right now, I heard in Dina's comments. So I just want to say that's inspiring. We hear many stories like that. We're here for you. And yeah, really hope that school-based team will be there for her. And I'm optimistic.
Okay. So tell me about then what the Ministry of Education is actually doing to support those vulnerable students.
One of the things that I think will be really critical right now with families such as Dina's is that we see strong team collaboration between local health authorities, the local school districts, and those school-based teams. And flexibility is going to be absolutely key here. And I really think it's important that people listen to families. They know their children best. So they'll be able to talk about what their typical day looks like, what a realistic home learning plan looks like, and where they're going to be needing support. And my hope is that our systems are nimble and flexible and creative enough to give those people the support that they need.
We hear now, and we heard yesterday from the health minister and from Dr. Bonnie Henry, that we're talking about something that likely is going to continue, you know, through June, perhaps beyond. How prepared mm-hmm. are we to put people in place to help families like Dina's for that length of time?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clearly established that all systems are struggling, but there has been some amazing work come out. These are exceptional times, and people are responding in exceptional ways. I think it, you know, being physically and socially isolated at home presents very different and unique challenges for different families. And I think it's really important that those who can do, and really the resources we have are allocated to those families that are really struggling, those families that need someone to come do, you know, a fresh air break walk with their kids so they can grab a shower. So it's going to look really different in each family, and I think we need to be flexible and responsive. And, you know, as I said before, the school-based teams often know our kids best after their family unit. So that strong relationship is going to be critical in sustaining keeping families sustained and supported over the coming weeks and months.
We're hearing a lot from the Ministry of Education about online opportunities, about distance learning. But what do you do in a case like Dina's where, you know, her children don't respond to that, where that, you know, one-on-one contact is so important to them?
Yeah, and I really am hopeful that that one-on-one contact can be maintained for some families where it is essential in that online learning. So as we start to figure out what the in-school child care looks like for essential workers, where is that space and that flexibility to maybe do some one-on-one personal support with students, where that fit into their educational support plans as they stood before this happened? So I think once we get a better handle on our resources and what we have available, we need to start prioritizing some one-on-one in-person supports for some students when it's safe to do so.
You know, a lot of parents with children who don't have special needs are wondering how they're going to continue keeping their kids interested in school over the next few months. But for parents like Dina, I mean, what do they do while they wait to hear more about a plan from their school districts?
So one of the things we do, we encourage families to reach out and really have a clear list of things that they need prioritized. Reach out to an Inclusion BC advocate or a family support worker. So when those critical points of conversation begin, we're ready to be really clear what we want, what we need, and start piecing that together. And it's going, you know, the Ministry of Education and the school-based teams will be able to provide some of that, but there needs to be a coordinated team approach with the Ministry of Children and Family Development and the health authorities as well, particularly when we're working with families that have that need that in-home nursing support.
Very good to hear from you this morning, Carla. Thank you for taking the time with us.
Oh, my absolute pleasure.
Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye now. That's Carla Vershoor. She is Inclusion BC's executive director. Love to hear what you think about the lack of classroom instruction, what it means to you and your family, especially if you have kids who get extra help at school, who have special needs. Our email, earlyed@cbc.ca, earlyed@cbc.ca.